I just kind of stick my toe over in it, honestly, compared to these people. I mean, they, you know, when you don't have anything and you give that up for the Lord, what have you really done? But when you have something and you give that up for the Lord, that just always impresses me, you know. And I know several now that have given up, given their life. And I guess that's where we have the holdback, is giving our lives as a living sacrifice to Christ. So, praise the Lord, brother. We're behind you. I know that sounds cliche, but we're behind you. Go on, you know. Book of Mark, chapter number 7. We just finished chapter 6 last week, and Jesus has fed the 5,000, or probably 12,000 or better. He walks on the sea. His disciples have hardened their heart. This group that come to hear Him, and He spoke to them on the hillside, and He fed them. John tells us that they rallied together, and they would take Him by force and make Him their king. Jesus said, "Man, that's not why I came here. That's not what I'm here to do." His disciples wanted the same thing. Man, they were ready for an earthly ministry, and they were ready to take their positions of hierarchy, because, man, they were right there close to Him. He sends them away, and then He deals with the crowd and disperses them, and then He goes and prays to the Father. As we said last week, He had a lot to talk about. You know, this issue of them wanting to crown Him king, and you know, the disciples trying to side with them. He had a lot to talk about. He went away by Himself and began to pray. He comes back and He finds them there on the ship in the midst of the storm. Storm is calmed. You know, even nature itself succumbs to His will. And says that they get to shore, and all the people realized it was He, and they begin to bring all the sick to Him. Man, everybody that could just get within touching range of Him would be healed. Their faith is what made them whole. I told y'all last week, just you coming here to church today was a showing of your faith. You said, "Man, if I can just get to there, I'll get to meet with Jesus." Lord, help us that we meet with Jesus every time we come into this building. This building isn't it. It's not where He dwells. It's within His people. And we all understand that. But He does these great and mighty things that multitudes saw. Again, He performed miracles of physical healing, physical feeding, the things that could benefit people physically right then and there. But all those do is cause more miracles, more feedings, more things like that. Jesus wanted them to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, which is what He wants us to be today. He does all these things, and the Pharisees begin to hear about it. They send a little group from Jerusalem up to Galilee to see about this country preacher out there. They came and kind of stand backish at first and begin to just listen to Him. They really wanted to find out if He adhered to the written law, and to them, more importantly, the oral law. Because the oral law was their law. The written law was the Scriptures. They wanted to make sure that He adhered to them very zealously. But more importantly, the oral law. Because as we see, the Pharisees began to put the oral law in front of the written law. Their oral law superseded the written law. And you can't ever have that. You know, that's why they missed Jesus Christ coming, is because they were so emphatic on the things that they had in their mind that they didn't even recognize Him when He got there. So after we pray, Mark chapter 7. Lord, thank You again for this time that we've come to spend in Your Word. Father, I thank You for the Cole family, Lord, and Lord, what they represent, Lord, as missionaries and going out, Lord, heeding to the call. Lord, help us to be prayerful of what they're doing first and foremost. Lord, support them prayerfully and financially, and Lord, all the ways that we can, Lord, that they would go, and Lord, we'd be able to send, Lord, that we'd see, Lord, we'd see countries changed and turned around, Lord, that we hear these staggering numbers of, Lord, the Buddhism and Muslims, Lord, these absolute dead religions, Lord, that are man-made, and Lord, that there's no hope in. Father, help us to be prayerful to send that hope. Lord, be with our message. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would teach and help us to understand. In Christ's name, amen. It's Mark chapter 6, and verse 53, it says, "And that when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And they ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whether so he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole." Here they realized that God was among them. And all these with these physical ailments, and honestly, when it's you, that's pretty well the only issue that's going on. You know, when it's you, man, just get me up there to see Jesus. Give me some kind of hope. Give me some kind of something. I came to church Wednesday night, had a list this long of my problems. Man, I got here and talked to one or two people, and I said, man, am I embarrassed. You know, like somebody said out there a minute ago, Gene said, I hate to mention mine. Man, I'm doing pretty good. You know? I've told y'all before, if it's me, there's no such thing as minor surgery. Okay? No such thing. These people realized there was hope in Jesus Christ. Their faith is what made them whole. If you can just, I can't. If you'll carry me over there where when he passes by and touch him, I know that I'll be healed. That's faith. And that is faith right there. And he began to heal all these people. And then look at chapter 7 and verse 1. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees." Man, that just has a negative tone, doesn't it? Just that sentence right there has a negative tone. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem." I've told y'all before, we do a little old deal periodically through the years of what Bible to use. Mark tells us, beware of the scribes, for they seek to kill Jesus. Well, put that together, folks. What's Jesus? He was the Word made man. Who makes these copies? It's the scribes. Who does the Bibles today? It's the scribes. Beware of them. Be careful. Because they seek to get rid of Jesus Christ. And they're doing that in volume after volume after volume and saying, here's the Word of God. Well, I know it don't have the blood in it, but that's kind of icky. You know, I mean, that's what they do. They take and distort it and make it palatable, and it's not the truth. Beware of the scribes. Here they came together, certain of the scribes and the Pharisees, and they came from Jerusalem, and verse 2 says, "And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." Here's a greatest prophet they'd ever seen come onto the scene. His fame had spread far and wide. They tried to crown him king. It alarmed the Pharisees. It alarmed them to a pretty big extent. But here's a man that walked on the water, fed thousands, healed the sick, cast out demons, and he let his disciples eat bread without washing their hands. They got him now. You know they crucified him for that? Yeah. Here he did. We just read and seen all these six chapters before of the mighty miracles and things that he did. And these holier-than-thou church people showed up and said, yeah, he may have done all that, but I saw him let his disciples eat with unwashed hands. He needs to die. That's what they said. They said, verse 3 says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. That kind of fits with that sentence up there in verse 1. It says, and they came together unto him, the Pharisees. See, they held their traditions of the elders above the Word of God. They held it above that. He says that here in a little bit, Jesus is going to say, your traditions are your oral law. That's where you've gone awry. Verse 5 says, and when the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why walk not thou disciples according to traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Isaiah 29 and verse 13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for so much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Isaiah the prophet said, here's what's going to happen. Men are going to end up writing what they want, and it's going to take the place of what God said. See, there was the Ten Commandments. There were 613 precepts or parts to that. But then they took it further than that and made it so cumbersome, so many of the oral law that not only could you not remember them, much less keep up with them. You know, they would see something and they'd say, well, that's part of the oral law. They never wrote it down. It was just the oral law. Jesus said, you know what? Isaiah was right. He says, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He said, you know, y'all are teaching a doctrine of mankind, not of God. Verse 8 says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Man, that's a bad testimony right there. And I think we have to kind of watch it even in our church today, that we're pretty good with everybody coming in as long as they come in like we think they need to come in. Right? I mean, you know, definitely the church has changed over the years. I know I've had the discussion. Music is the worst one. And music is a battle. You know, I've had the arguments with, you know, all these new songs. Man, you shouldn't be doing those in church. You know, any of these new songs that we don't know or we don't have in the hymnal, man, we shouldn't be doing those. And then we were over at Crown College at the graduation, and Brother Sexton said, you know, or actually it was Brother Barber, said, the best song hadn't been written yet. The best sermon hadn't been preached yet. You know, this is up to you guys. He was given the charge of the class. And I just had to think back, you know, probably 100 years ago, you could hear the church member saying, that young upstart Fanny Crosby, we're not going to sing her stuff. Right? Things have changed. You know, and things continue to change. We just need to be aware. Be careful that we don't put ourselves into, well, you can come in and be part of us, but you got to dress this way and do this, and we better be careful with that. And I'm all for a dress code. I'm all for music code. I'm all for that. But let's be careful. And let's be ever careful. And again, I'll scripturally fight you one with the dress code and stuff. I can deal with that one. The music deal, man, I don't know. You have to argue with somebody else. I think some of the new stuff now is pretty solid. Pretty solid. Some isn't, some is. I think the ones that weren't back 100 years ago didn't make it into here. Just like the ones 100 years from now won't make it in either, you know. I feel better. Anyway, y'all stop or we'll never get done. He says in verse 10, he says, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. So he says, we know that God gave us this law. How hard is it, the fifth commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother? Later it's given that this is the first commandment with promise, that you'll have a long life. How hard is that? How messed up is that, that somebody's got to come in and say, okay, here's what God really meant? It's pretty plain, right? It's pretty plain. Jesus is giving a parable here, okay? So everybody kind of perk your ears up. There's more to it than what we're reading right here. His disciples were smart enough to see that. We'll see it in a minute. But he says, Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. You were to be put to death if you did anything, you know, if you said stuff, anything bad about your father and mother. God help us now, you know. Thank you for grace. You know. But look at verse 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. The Jews came up with a new deal. You could issue this term of Corban, which meant that everything that you had was dedicated to God. Therefore, you were released from providing for your mother and father. They superseded the law of God. The Pharisees were okay with it because you're still giving your tithes and everything to the church. They didn't care about your mother and father. They didn't care about the law of God. That's just what Jesus said here. He said, you know fully well that Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, but y'all say Corban and everything's okay. It was a lawyer's deal of kind of a loophole, a pharisaical loophole, that you could not have to deal with your earthly obligations of your mother and your father. I think there's numerous scriptures that show us that we're to care for our mother and father in their old age. I think that's our earthly responsibility to our parents. Jesus Christ, when He was hanging on the cross, looked down at John and said, behold thy mother, behold thy son. He put her under the auspice of John to take care of her. I mean, but here, through the traditions of men, you didn't have to do that. Verse 12 says, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. He said, here's just one example, pretty cut and dry, that y'all do. Your traditions of men have superseded the Word of God. He says, verse 13 says, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. My note here on this is just, man, we need to be careful of how we use the Scriptures. You know, you can't take your situation, you can't take a verse of Scripture and fit it to your situation. You can do that, you know. People do that all the time. Well, it says right here, what you have to be careful of is that the Scripture stands on its own. If your situation falls within under that, you're okay. But man, don't try and take the Scripture around to fit what your situation is and go, man, I'm good. Scripture says it right there. No, you can't take out of the context. You know, you don't go at your Bible with a set of scissors. You have to take the Scripture in context. We just have to be careful that we don't make God's Word of none effect. Verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering in him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus uses this phrase about 13 times. He uses it several times here. He says, pay attention. Again, the Jews had made the oral law so cumbersome. You know, when in the book of Acts, when we find Paul and James going at it about, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to be circumcised and follow the law. James said, man, we didn't like it when that was put upon us. Why would we do that to new converts? You know, here they've made the law so cumbersome by adding all the traditions of men. He says, y'all got it to where it's not even common sense. He says, back to the first question at hand, he says, look, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. That goes into your stomach, goes through your intestines, the nutritions and things are taken out, and we have a waste system that God so intricately made that takes care of all of the things that come in defiling us. That's what he says here. He says, y'all aren't even making any sense. How can dirty hands defile a person? It can't happen. He says, whatever entering into him can defile him, but things which come out of him is what defiles him. Now he's going to elaborate on that because, again, there was more to it than what he just told everybody. He says in verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. The disciples said, hey, there's got to be a heavenly message to this. We understood what you were telling them, but there's got to be more to this. Which, give credit to the disciples. Hey, we was listening to you, now tell us the real meaning. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Man, I'll tell you what, we used to, y'all, this class can relate, we used to have less sick kids. You know why? Because we used to eat dirt. Am I right? We used to eat dirt. That'll help your immune system, won't it? Get a little hard mineral in there. You don't need Flintstone vitamins. How many of you got, you know, I still find spoons in my front yard, y'all. Come on, under the big tree. Why'd they have spoons out there? It wasn't just for digging, you know. Whoever made the grass salad, come on. Yeah, come on, yeah. There you go. It's not what goes in your system that defiles you. Man, I probably eat more dirt than anybody here. Even in my professional career, I ate more dirt than anybody here. I was a professional bull rider. So, it's not what goes in. Verse 19 says, because it entereth into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil things, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lavishness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. I want you to understand, we all carry that with us. Holy Spirit looked into our hearts and said, here's what you're carrying. I'll tell you, Jesus said, if you do it in your heart, you've done it. Man, I murder people every week. You don't need a show of hands. Right? Jesus said, if you do it in your heart, it's the same thing. Man, I'm just saved, man. Y'all think I'm a Christian. I'm just saved. You know? He says we carry all this around in our hearts. Now, we have... We have some things that keep us in check. The restraints that are imposed upon us by society. You know? I watch all them jail shows. Man, I ain't gonna kill somebody. I don't want to go to Lockup, Colorado. Las Vegas jail. You know, society imposes things on us. Our family does. You know, our family helps us more than probably what we know. Our friends, if they're true friends of ours. Our conscience is a good one. The church and the Holy Spirit all give us restraints that restrain that list of things back. If you'll notice, the first half of them are plural. It's not just one thought of it. It's multiples of it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My prayer constantly is renew my mind. Renew my mind. That's where it starts. It starts in your mind, changes your heart, and then it comes out of you. And that's where we get in all the trouble with it. Only God's grace can keep us from expressing them. That's all it is. You know, it's no wonder Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're carrying all that around. You must be born again. We finish the chapter next week. I heard a deal about this on the radio last week, and it's had me infuriated ever since. Guy called in one of them shows and he said, well, Jesus was a racist. Give me a break. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this day, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray for, Lord, not only the missionaries that are here today, but Lord, all of our missionaries we support around the world. Lord, just burden our hearts today for the fields that will be presented, Lord, that we would continue in support. In Christ's name, amen.